speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
I do not know of a better way to get before you the fact that certain religious practices and doctrines are not taught in the Bible than the plan I followed yesterday and the plan to continue today. That plan was to request of you that you ask your preacher for certain things. So I want to present to you a series of sermons this week right along this line. Having been a preacher myself for more than 40 years, I have some idea about what should be expected of a preacher and of what should be his attitude toward those who inquire of him concerning the things he teaches and practices in religion. With the Bible as our rule of faith and practice, the Bible containing the revelation of God's will to us, we should be very anxious to do just the things that it authorizes. Even a preacher should not want to practice in religion those things that it does not that are not taught in the Bible. And if he's following the New Testament as his authority, he should be more than willing to tell you and tell his brethren just where they can read the various things that are done in religion. So I come to you again today with a request that you ask your preacher regarding a number of things that I shall mention. By way of review, I suggested yesterday, ask your preacher where you can find the name of your church in the Bible. He should be able to tell you where it is. For you see, names are important. The Apostle Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I know that names are important, for quite often someone will take an ad out in the Southern Standard saying, I'm not John Doe that was arrested for operating a meth lab. You see, there was a John Doe that was arrested, and this person will probably give his address and say, you know, I'm not that one. So I know that names are important. Again, I suggested that you ask your preacher where the Bible says the church is not necessary to salvation. Certainly the church is not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. But he places the saved in the church. So ask your preacher where the Bible says the church is not necessary to salvation. And then we ask that you ask your preacher where the Bible says that one church is just as good as another. Now, I will agree with the statement that one denomination is just as good as another because denominations are just that, denominations. But where can you find that one church is just as good as another? And now today I would ask, in view of these things, ask your preacher where the Bible says to join the church of your choice. If man is allowed to choose the church that suits him best, then the Lord has no choice in the matter. But since Jesus built his church, one church, do you think he will allow you to choose one that some uninspired man or woman built in preference to the one that he built? The Lord gives you the choice of accepting him or rejecting him. But if you reject him, he will see that you do not go unpunished. Why not let the Lord have his choice instead of choosing your own way? And if your preacher is not telling, has been telling you to join the church of your choice, he ought to be able to give you a passage of Scripture that says so. So go to your preacher and ask him for that. And I would ask today, ask your preacher where the Bible says that denominations are branches of the same vine. You probably heard this statement when there has been any discussion of denominationalism. We know that the religious world is woefully divided with conflicting bodies of every kind. Not only do denominations differ in name, they differ in teaching, they differ in practice. Their doctrines are in direct conflict with one another. In no sense is there unity or harmony or concord, but there's discord, there's disagreement, there's division. We sometimes ask if God is pleased with a condition like this, and we're told that it's perfectly all right, for after all, denominations are just branches of the same vine. Well, if you've heard your preacher say this, I'd like to ask a Make a request that you ask him where the Bible says so. I have read the statement made by Jesus in John 15, verse 1 through verse 6. And that's often relied on to sustain this idea. But friend, John 15, 1 through 6 doesn't say anything that even remotely resembles denominationalism. In this passage, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He's not talking to denominations. He's not talking to conflicting bodies. He's talking to His disciples. And to His disciples, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." In this case, He would have said, "I am the vine, they are the branches," if He had been talking about denominations. But He did not say, "they are the branches." He said, "you are the branches." A number of disciples made a number of branches. Christ was the vine, the disciples were the branches, and each disciple in Christ was a branch in the vine. It took just one disciple to make a branch. For Jesus said in verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch." This destroys the idea that Jesus referred to denominations as branches. For in that case, it would take a great group of men to make a branch. But Jesus said, one man makes a branch. So this is not the passage that must be found. If your preacher refers you to this passage, call to his attention the fact that one man is a branch and that he must find some other passage. This one will not do. For it doesn't even begin to say anything at all about denominations as being branches in the vine. So ask your preacher. Again, ask your preacher where the Bible says that inspired men ever invited alien sinners to pray for salvation, or to say what's sometimes called the sinner's prayer. Now, it's a very general practice in religion today. It may be practiced where you worship. If so, then I do not know of a better one to tell you to ask than your preacher for information regarding this. You're well acquainted with him. You've been in his audience many times. You've heard him preach, perhaps, over and over the things that he believes. So just go ask him in a friendly sort of way and tell him you want the book, the chapter and verse, where any inspired man was ever told as an alien sinner to maybe come to the altar or to pray that he might be saved, that he just say the sinner's prayer. Surely he could not object to a thing like this. So you don't have to hesitate to ask him. Now, I've read in the Bible of an alien sinner engaged in prayer when a heaven-sent man came to him to tell him what to do. A case of this kind is found in the 22nd chapter of Acts. Saul, who had been one of the worst enemies of Christianity, became convinced of the error of his way. He asked the Lord what the Lord would have him to do. Jesus told him to go on into the city, Damascus. There he'd be told what he must do. He's in the city. He waited for that information. Ananias, a certain disciple in that city, was sent to tell him what to do. And when he came into the presence of Saul, the sinner, Ananias, the preacher, found him engaged in prayer. But he did not tell him to continue praying and just reword your prayer to pray the sinner's prayer. That's what many preachers today would have told him. But Ananias didn't. He was telling Saul what God wanted him to do. So he interrupted the prayer on the part of the sinner, and he said, I'm reading Acts 22, verse 16. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." To arise, of course, means to get up. So Ananias told Saul to get up from his praying to do something else, to be baptized and have his sins washed away. This couldn't be the reverse of the course preachers generally follow. And I remember reading in the second chapter of Acts about a great host of sinners being condemned by the preaching of the Apostle Peter. And as they are brought under conviction of being sinners, they cried out, saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I do know that it would have been a good time for inspired men to tell them, well, just pray the sinner's prayer. But according to my Bible, and I think according to yours, that's not what they said. Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 38. So instead of these alien sinners being told to come to the altar of prayer, they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. None of these statements resemble the religious practices of men who invite sinners to just accept Christ and pray the sinner's prayer. So I was just wondering if your preacher knows where inspired men have ever followed a course like that. I'm asking you to ask him for this information. Just ask him to give you the passage in the Bible that contains this practice. And then if it's not too much trouble, I'd be glad for you to send that information to me. Well, another question. Ask your preacher where the Bible says anything about getting religion. Some people talk about getting religion. I've read reports in religious papers of a certain number who got religion. And I've heard about preachers talking about it over the radio. I suppose my experience along this line has been that of many of the listeners. So much is said about it. I'm sure it's a subject of interest among religious people. So why not go to your preacher, and if you've heard him talking about it, ask him to tell you where you can find in the Bible about getting religion. Now, the word religion occurs in the Bible. It's not mentioned many times. In the Old Testament, the word does not occur, and it's found only 5 times in the King James translation of the New Testament. But in all of these passages, it's evident that religion is something that men do, not something they get. Paul referred to it early in this way in Acts 26, verse 4 and 5. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And we read in James 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, as much as I've heard it talked about, I'm frank to confess to you today that I do not know where to find anything about it in the Bible. If your preacher knows about getting religion, then he's learned more than I have, and I'd be delighted to have the answer. So ask your preacher. For today, my time is gone. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.